Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to be here with everyone this morning, and we would like to welcome you. And if we have any first-time visitors, we'd certainly like to welcome you and make you feel welcome. We thank you for worshiping with us here at Jenkins this morning. And right now, let's just take a minute to greet the people around us, say hello and good morning, and wish them some blessings. As we get started this morning, are there any announcements? Any announcements? I have a couple for the youth. There is going to be a Valentine's Day party this afternoon from 4 to 5:30. It's just like elementary school. Bring snacks, bring Valentine's for everybody, and a box to decorate. It's going to be really fun. Also, on March 11th, there is going to be a family night that the youth is putting on. It's for everyone, and there's an announcement in the bulletin about it, but everybody's welcome March 11th at 7 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Go ahead. Thank you. Are there any others? If you don't find time during the week to study the Word of Any others? If not, let's take a moment to have a silent prayer and the lighting of the candles representing Christ coming into this building. Do we have any prayer requests or praise reports this morning? I would. And how old is Hunter?
14.
Any others? Liz? Any others? If you were at early praise this morning, right after we finished, there was a phone that rang, and it was Ted's mother called him, and Ted's grandfather, Marvin, correct, passed away last night. So continue to pray for Ted's family, and Pat is his mom. Pray for Pat. Also, Chelsea's not here this morning. Her friend that her roommate's sister that we've prayed for off and on for about 2 years, she died last Sunday, and she's 37, was 37, and died of cancer. So she's in Texas there with the family, and the family's, she was young, so the family's going through a tough time. Pray for them. Any others? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we're so thankful that we're here, and we're thankful that we have another opportunity to worship in your house with our friends and with our family. God, today as we begin to worship, we pray that you be with our many prayer concerns. Some we said out loud and some we didn't, but especially be with Hunter and the twins that were born, Alashir and his family and the baby, Antonio, Pat Hatfield. Continue to be with Chelsea's friend Kendall and her family. God, we ask that you be with this nation, that you be with the president and his people that help him make decisions, and we just pray that you be with our men and women who are serving in the military and who are overseas, who spend long periods of time away from their families. God, we are thankful, like I said, that we're here and that we're able to worship and that your son sacrificed his life for us. And right now we begin to say the prayer that Christ taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'd stand with me and join with me in the call to worship this morning. It comes from 2 Kings 5 and Psalm 30. Come to the river and pray.
Wash in the ever-flowing grace of God.
Come into the presence of our healing God.
As in the shining light of Christ's love.
Come as you are, be where you are, but know that God is all around.
Let's join now in singing, Glorious is Thy Name.
Blessed Savior, we adore Thee, be Thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art mighty, Thou art holy, glorious is Thy matchless name. Glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Great Redeemer, God and Master, Light of all eternal days, let the sake of every nation sing Thy just and endless praise. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord.
Let's sing the last verse.
Come, O God, immortal Savior, and take Thy royal throne. Come and reign forever. Be the kingdom of Thine own. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Glorious, glorious, glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. our call to confession. God of health and wholeness, embrace us, even in our brokenness. Wash us with your loving presence. Cleanse our ears that we may hear you plainly. Cleanse our hearts that we may love you fully. Cleanse our lives that we may walk with joy and sing your praises. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. God of overflowing grace, wash over us with your mercy. Overwhelm us with floods of love. Cleanse us and make us new. As we come into your presence, remind us of our baptism that we may be thankful. Help us sense anew the power of your baptismal presence. Open our hearts to the fullness of your grace as we confess our brokenness and our sins. Heal us of your pain and despair, our resistance to finding rest in your presence, our agonies that prevent us from healing your loving touch. God's people said, Amen. My friends, hear these words of assurance. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. The grace of God is ours for the taking. Put off the sackcloth and ashes of despair and dance in the light of God's love. In the name of Christ, we are forgiven.
And God's grace is greater than our sin. First verse only.
Grace, grace, God's grace.
Offertory sentence this morning comes from Psalm 96, verses 7 through 8. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Will the ushers please come forward? Miss Mary Jo, do you have a children's message? If all the children would like to come forward.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. How precious. Well, the scripture tells us that God is love. And so it's good that we have a day like tomorrow that reminds us that we need to be acting in love. Not just tomorrow, but all year long. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met anyone that sort of had the attitude, I don't answer to anyone. I'm my own person. You know, I've run into folks like that in my years in the ministry, and it just seems like, you know, everywhere you go, you run into somebody that sort of has that attitude. They feel like that maybe they're supposed to stand on their own, and that or maybe it's just that idea of bucking authority, just not wanting to trying to say, you know, I do it my way. I don't have to do it somebody else's way. But you know what? Everybody has to answer to somebody, don't they? You know, Bob Dylan had a conversion experience, and he came out with an album. This was while I was in high school. And I don't remember the name of the album, but I remember the song that really touched me. You got to serve somebody, you know? And he knew that. At the moment that he came to the Lord, he realized, you know, you got to serve somebody in this life. There is nobody that can say, I do it my way, or I don't answer to anyone. You got to serve somebody. That song goes a little like this. It says, you may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Oh, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Isn't that good? And he realized that. I can imagine in the position that he was in the entertainment industry, that came to be a reality in his life very quickly. But it speaks about worship. See, last week we talked about five keys to walking in the favor of God. And the first one was to worship God. And we know that David was a true worshiper of God. He loved God with all his heart. And so I want to talk about that today, about that one issue of loving God and worshiping God. They're one and the same. Really, if you'd like to, you could say the love of God and the worship of God and the service of God is all the same thing. Having faith in God is loving God. So it's important that we understand that. Lou Giglio made this comment about worship. It was his explanation, a very simple explanation about worship. Worship is our response to what we value most. Worship is our response to what we value most. See, the truth is, and the title of this sermon this morning is Everybody Worships. Everybody worships. Everybody has to answer to somebody. Everybody has to serve somebody. And everybody worships. The question is, why? Why is that? Is it true? I think it's true. Bob Dylan thought it was true. Found it out in the very infancy of his conversion experience. And you know, I find that it's true in life. There are things that we value and that we will give our time to and our attention to. And if we're not careful, we'd all have to admit that at times there are things that get in the way of our relationship with God. You know, I believe it's important when the Lord says, do not put any other gods before me. I mean, that's an important commandment that the Lord gives us. Do not put any other gods before me. No graven images, no false images. How did he know that that was going to be the very problem that the children of Israel would have? I mean, time and time again, over and over again, that's exactly the thing they dealt with, was that they would want to make some image. You know, the children of Israel, I'm teaching the Old Testament class at Bethel University this semester, and as we were talking about the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt, and you think about that awesome experience that they encountered where they came out of Egypt as a nation and the Egyptian army came after them and God caused the seas to part, this fire that stood between them and the armies of Egypt until they were allowed to cross through the Red Sea. And then when they crossed through, the Egyptian army allowed to follow, and they saw their enemies crushed. They saw their enemies drowned, destroyed. They saw so many great miracles as they followed God on that journey. And Moses took them to a very special place so that they could receive instruction from God. And he told them that he was going up on the mountain to talk with God, and he'd be back. He was probably gone for about 40 days. But in 40 days' time, they began to murmur and complain, and they began to wonder where he is and what's happened to him. And then they said to Aaron, they said, Aaron, make us a god. And they gave him all their gold jewelry and everything that they had of value like that. And they threw it into a pot and they melted it. And then Aaron used it to fashion this golden calf. And then they set this golden calf up and they said, this is the God that delivered us out of Egypt. And I'm just reading this and I'm just like, how do you do that? How do you convince yourself that you actually gave your gold possessions and melted them in a fire and built this image and now you're calling it a god? Why? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It's because everybody worships. There's something in us that we worship. Man, I can remember as a little kid, and it was funny because I was talking with Patrick yesterday. We were singing. We had the most wonderful time last night with the youth, and they fixed this wonderful soup and chili meal, and we did karaoke, and Jerry Bauer was up there singing, and Sam, and so many were up there and shared their talents and their gifts, and we had fun, and we laughed, and we cut up. But in the midst of all that, some did some Elvis Presley songs. And so I was talking to Patrick, and I said, Patrick, I said, what was that Elvis Presley used to do with his leg, you know? How did he do that? And Patrick Where is Patrick? Patrick looked at me and said, man, I don't know. He was before my time. I just gave myself away right there, you know. So, but I can remember as a kid, Elvis Presley. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. And they would show these news clips of events where he was and all the young girls, and they were just screaming and crying and hysterical over this man. Why? Because everybody worships. Because it's in us to worship. I mean, he may have been one of the first that had the thrones of young ladies that were clamoring over him, but there's been many to come after him. And it's amazing what we'll do. And why? Well, it's within us to worship. And so the children of Israel have made this calf, and Moses comes down off the mountain and he sees what has happened. Actually, God tells him that it has happened. And he comes down off the mountain knowing that this has happened. He's just received these commandments from the Lord. And he breaks them on the ground. And when he begins to question them about what happened, Aaron said, well, we threw this gold into the fire and this calf popped out. It was magical. This calf just popped out. And so we began to worship it. No, it wasn't like that. There's just something within us that we need something to hold on to. Why is that? We've got to ask that question. Why is that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He created us in his image. Well, God does not look like us. He doesn't look like a man. He's not a man. God is spirit, the scripture tells us. The scripture that we're going to look at today. But what? How is it that we've been made in His image? We've been made in His image in that we've been created for relationship with Him. We've been created in such a way as to respond to Him. We have a spirit. We are spiritual at our very core of our being. And that's who we are. We've been created in His image, male and female, He created them. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18 says this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. But there was a truth there hidden in those verses. All things were created through Him and for Him. When I was young, we had a catechism in the church. And we had a preacher that came in, and he brought that catechism out and he began to teach us from that. And the very first tenet in that catechism was that we are created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I thought, isn't that interesting that even those fathers who lived before us that formed that catechism understood, and I think the way it said it is, the chief end of man, the most important reason for our existence. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. They understood that we were created to worship, probably because of this verse. In that catechism, it had related verses for everything that it said. It had scripture, verse, chapter and verse to support it. Because in Him, through Him, and for Him, we have been created. In other words, He created us to love Him. He created us to worship Him. There is a desire. As those who have been created in the image of God, there is a desire within us to worship, to long for our Creator. But guess what? If we don't put Him in that place, we'll put something else in that place. It may be our job. It may be our hobbies. It may be our families. It may be ourself. It may be our own desires. It may be money. But we'll put something else in that place if we don't put God there. That's the reason He warned us from the very beginning and throughout not to put any other gods before Him. He is our God and worthy to be worshipped. That leads us to our scripture text for today. And it comes from the Gospel of John. And it's an encounter that Jesus had with a woman at the well. And this woman at the well represents every one of us. In this encounter that He had with the woman, He revealed to her the very secrets of her heart. He revealed to her that He knew that she was not complete. He revealed to her that He understood that she had misgivings, that she had problems, that she had difficulties, that certainly she understood that she was a sinner, but she was a victim also. He told her, He said, "You've had five husbands, but the one you have right now is not your husband." The thing we probably ought to remember about that is that in that society, the women did get to choose who they married. So when He was revealing those things to her, He was saying, "I understand where you hurt. I understand your humanness. I understand the things that you encounter and the things that come against you." And then in verse 20, she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father.'" It's interesting, you know, when you think about that. I sort of went back and I looked up little information about Samaria. I knew that they had conflict with one another. I knew that they didn't like each other. But I found out that at one of the moments in which the children of Israel had been carried away into captivity, especially the southern portion, at this time there were two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So you had Israel as the northern kingdom and Judah as the southern kingdom. And they left some of the Israelites behind in that northern region, and then they sent Assyrians back into that region to intermarry with them. The Assyrians did it on purpose. And as they began to intermarry, they also introduced their religious practices into the temple worship. And so then the Jews in that area began to, they built their temple in, I can't remember the name of Mount, it's Mount, starts with a G. I can't remember the name, it escapes me, but it's close to Shechem. And they built their temple there. And of course then, when those from Judah returned, Then there was the temple in Jerusalem, and there was this understanding that you all are not doing the right thing by worshiping up here. You're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. And then there was also this separation because they realized that they had intermarried with all these Assyrians and had even changed the worship of God and changed the law as to how what parts of it they followed. And so they just didn't look at them as completely whole in the Jewish faith. And so there was this divide and there was a separation then between the two. On the other hand, those in Samaria were much richer. They were of much higher standard of living, and that area had progressed as far as, I guess, the quality of life, if you will. And so they looked down on the Jews as those who were lowly and poor and didn't have much, those that worshipped in Judah. And so there was just this divide and this competition and this separation. And so now Jesus is in this conversation with a Samaritan woman. And she has realized he's a prophet after he's revealed the things. And so she brings up the issue of worship. I want to know, where do we worship? Should we worship here? Are we doing it right? Or is it down there in Judah? Where are we supposed to worship? You're the prophet. Tell me what's what. And so Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, it's now here, with His arrival. The hour is coming, and it now has arrived. It now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Now everything about their worship was ceremony and ritual and symbolism and sacrifice and all of these things that had to be done just so. And the Lord was saying, things are about to change. It's no longer going to be about all the little tit and tat and all the little details. It's going to be about the spiritual connection we have that has been restored through Jesus Christ. That we can have relationship, be in communion, and have oneness with the Father through Jesus the Son, through His sacrifice on the cross. See, sometimes we look at what Jesus did on the cross and we think that that is the ultimate completion and that's the end. But if you really look at the gospel, Jesus did what He did on the cross to pay for our sins so that a new way could be opened up, so that our relationship could now be with the Father directly. The veil torn, split open, come into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus and have fellowship with Almighty God. So when we worship, it's not about a symbol or a ritual, but it's about our connection. There's a connection that needs to be made with Almighty God, that we are here to worship You. So that same worship carries over into our daily life, and it's not about some ritual or form that will follow tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, but it's about the spiritual connection that we will have with God all throughout the week, where we can bow our head at any moment or even driving down the road, utter those prayers and say, Lord, here are the decisions that face me today. What would you have me to do? Hallelujah. I mean, man, that's good news. We're in relationship with the maker of the universe. I mean, through Jesus Christ and through what he did on Calvary, not only I can't remember the actual verse, but it's in the Gospel of John. He said, we come and make our abode within you. That Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit come and make their home within us. Hallelujah. So we worship in spirit and in truth. And oh, how we need the truth part of it. The spirit, we understand, we have that spirit connection and we walk with him in that way. But the truth part of it is so we won't be deceived in who we are. So we can always understand our humanness and that we need him and that we can approach him in humility and truly realize, man, the truth is, Lord, I need you. The truth is that I'm undone without you. I'm not enough. And my efforts don't match up. And I can't stand on my own. But as I make the connection with you, the truth is, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing anymore. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. You'll make the way as I put my trust in you. And then he says, his word says, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Praise God. That's the God we serve. So, let's continue to read. Verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. See, they had enough of it, right, that she understood there's a Messiah coming. And when he comes, he's going to show us all things. And she said, when the anointed one, when the Christ comes, the Christ means the anointed one. When the anointed one comes, when the Messiah comes, when the one who has been anointed by the Spirit of God comes, he will show us all things. And he said, I'm the man. I am he. And she knew he was right because he had just showed her everything that ever happened in her life. And she realized, yes, you are the man. You are the Christ. But man, that's so important because it's so true and so typical about our lives that Jesus is moving, that Jesus is working in our lives and we don't recognize who he is. His grace is abounding and he's trying to show himself to us. He's trying to make that spiritual connection. But so many things have cluttered our lives and have filled our days that we don't hear it. That we don't realize that the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing is trying to fill our lives and direct our lives and empower our lives. At some point, we've got to take a personal inventory and say, Lord, what are the things that are standing in the way? Have I allowed certain things in my life, certain portions of my life, have I allowed things to become more important than you? And then to be truthful and honest and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, help me bring things back into the proper perspective. That I know that You are first place. That You're most important in my life. That You reign, that You're not only Savior of my life, but You have the place of Lordship. You're the Lord. The Master. The Director. And I'm walking in fellowship with You. There's that wonderful verse in Hebrews chapter 11. It's verse 6. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without putting our faith in Him, how can we worship Him? Without demonstrating our daily walk, how can we really, truly put Him first place? I'm going to ask the musicians to come at this time, and I want to place an invitation before you. That today, before we leave this place, we make sure that Jesus Christ is first place in our life. That we make sure that we have thought about the supreme sacrifice that He's made on Calvary to ensure that we would have relationship with God the Father. Because everything that Jesus did on Calvary was to help us put everything in proper perspective so that God the Father is first place, so that He has the preeminence in our life. I invite you to come, respond to this invitation as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
bless you. We bless your name. We glorify you. We lift you up. You are our God and our King. Lord, lead us forth in the power of your Holy Spirit as true worshipers. Lord, may we make that connection with you each day, that spiritual connection. And may we walk in your truth. Walk in the truth of your word and the light of your word. And walk truthfully before you as we honestly look at our lives and find our reliance and our faith in you. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.